Good morning. Wow. Well, this is a rare pleasure and privilege for me to be able to come before this body that I'm so blessed to serve and worship with and be a part of, and I am so grateful for this opportunity. We have, there's so many amazing things going on in the world, as we see, and we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared with the word. We need to be prayed up. We need to be in close fellowship and communion, not only with God and with our Lord, but with one another. Amen. Big House Revival, which many of you support prayerfully, I know, because the miracles that happen with the prison ministry that I'm so blessed to serve in, and so blessed to have a t-shirt. We get to do so many things, and on Mother's Day, and I would ask you to please cover this in prayer, doing Mission Possible at California Institute for Women on the day before Mother's Day. It's going to be a four-hour yard event. They're actually letting us. It's the first time we've done this. This is the third one that we've done. And this is the first time. I don't know if it'll stay up like that or not, but let's see. This is the first time we get to go out and proclaim the gospel in general population. We're usually in a multi-purpose room, which is, you know, has a stage and it's set up so they can do various presentations and such, but it's not proclaimed out in the yard. And so we're going to take our sound system, and that prison's going to hear the gospel. So I'm really excited about that, and I really treasure your prayers, because you know how powerful prayer is. Amen? That's May the 13th, the day before Mother's Day. Just really looking forward to that. Brenda Harp is going to join us, also be my band, and Brenda Harp, and then we have, so the way we're going to roll with this is we're going to have four one-hour segments. I mean, the way it's going to be broken down is worship, teaching, so they're going to definitely hear the word and the good news and just transformed lives. We have some really powerful testimonies of women who have come through the system and women who are ministering in the system. Maria Amaya, who's part of Big House Revival, because we're doing this with Jesus as the key ministries. If I didn't mention that, I apologize. That was a ministry that Chaplain Ed Welsh, who was a friend of mine, started. And a couple years ago, after a long battle with cancer, the Lord finally took him home. But that man was a warrior like Chuck was. I mean, he just stood his ground. He stood firm. And we watched him just dwindle away. Cancer just did what cancer can do, but it had no victory over him. It had no victory. He gave it no victory. He proclaimed Christ right up to the end and went out and did ministry as much as he possibly could. He was the head chaplain at Twin Towers in L.A., the men's jail in L.A. He was the chaplain there for years, and I got to serve there a little bit, but there was circumstances with my allergies and such, because the air in that facility is recirculated. It's just recycled. There's no fresh air that comes in there. They just blow the air around in there because for security purposes. So because it escapes and such, because they've got... It's a tough place to serve in, and I made it one day, and I think I was down for two or three days after being in there for one day. So that was apparently not my call. So if you would join me, whenever I have this opportunity, Scripture is so active and so alive, and I don't want to be jumping around all over the place. In Scripture, we want to stay where we're not bouncing back and forth. But I'm so encouraged by Peter. You know, Peter is my hero because he crashed so hard and then got up so strong. Amen? And Peter was such a passionate follower of Christ. And we think about all of his statements. I mean, he was so, full of himself in so many ways as we can, I can handle this, Lord. I'm your man, I'm the dude, I'm your chick, whatever, I can do this for you. And then, man, the rubber meets the road and the trials come. And you know, so often, and I believe all the time, these trials come in our lives so that we realize how weak we are. Wouldn't you say? Can I get an amen out of that one? I'm just realizing as I'm talking about this how Pentecostal I am when I'm in the prisons. So I'm we have a lot of fun together in prisons. There's a lot of hallelujahs and amens and but man, God is so good. But if you would turn with me to Peter, oddly enough, the first epistle of Peter. And here we find Peter exhorting the church, who the body has been displaced, has just been dispersed all over the place because, you know, as persecution came against the church and as we're seeing it now, I mean, we have things have lightened up a little bit, but it's for a season, I imagine. I'm prepared for whatever God will allow, but right now we need to take advantage of this season, don't we? And take advantage of the season when we can proclaim the gospel and proclaim his goodness. Excuse me. So here in the first epistle of Peter, he's writing and as we know, they always address it there. You know, we write a letter and we sign it at the end. They always addressed it in the very beginning, let you know, because can you imagine, it was on a scroll, so these scrolls are pretty serious, and they could get, can you imagine getting the letter from Paul, the book of Romans? Oh yeah, cool. You know, I mean, that was, talking about an awesome letter. So here Peter writes, as he's addressing himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The elect. You know, we are the elect. We are the called. And I love, you know, we think about this because there's been a whole lot of conversation and arguments about this whole thing with, you know, well, we're chosen, they're not, blah, blah, blah. We have to remember that the gospel is for everyone. Amen? God desires that no one should perish. And it's not up to us to decide who's to perish and who isn't. When we think, oh man, how can he, she ever receive the gospel? I tell them Jesus loves them. How are they going to receive that? Well, that's not, we need to realize that this is a gift, this is a blessing that we have, it's a treasure that we have to share, amen? To share this, the love of Christ. We can't, you know, it's not up to us how they receive it. But God, who is rich in mercy, stood outside of time for all of us. He stands outside of time, excuse me. And he knew from the beginning to the end, he knew when that offer went out, who was going to receive it, because we have free will. We are saved by grace, not by our works, lest any man should boast. And I am so grateful for that. I keep thinking about that, what that would be like in heaven. We've heard it so many times. If we were all saved by works, what a bore heaven would be. Because everybody would be bragging about how they got there. Amen? You know, and there's a lot of people who have done a whole lot more than me, and I'd have to hear a whole lot from them. You know, there's many of you who have been more faithful than I am. And who serve, you know, when you serve in the trenches and you're loving on people, you're just loving on people and sharing the gospel. That is a powerful ministry. God doesn't value how visual I am in what I get to do anymore, you know, because it seems like, wow, what I'm doing is more. It's not more. I'm just being faithful to what he's called me to. I get to do what I do. You get to do what you do. And if anyone in here is trying to figure out what in the world can I do for God, What in the world can I do for God? Just keep walking it. He will open doors for you. If you have questions about that, Lord, when are you ever going to use me? Just stay in prayer. Stay in the Word. Be available. Blessed are the flexible, Chuck used to say. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not crack. Amen? Or break? Was it crack? It was break. I'm cracked, so they shall not break. I always think cracked because it's too late for me. Okay. But so here he is speaking to this dispersion of believers that the Romans have come in and they've dispersed the church. And that's how the word goes out, doesn't it? You know, if everything had been comfy for the church in Jerusalem, they would have just stayed there and had their little private club, with a little sign on the door, Christians only. Don't bother us, we're being holy. We're sanctified, set apart. So be apart. That isn't what God wanted. God wanted us to go out to all the corners of the earth. Amen. He wanted the gospel to go out throughout the earth. And by his grace, it has. We see for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, we reflect back on when the Jews obediently, when the death angel passed through Egypt. And as Pharaoh was told, your firstborn, it was like, he, you know, the Lord kept speaking and trying to make it easy on Pharaoh, but Pharaoh wasn't going to go there, was he? But in the same time, in the same way, it was a preview, if you will, of the Lamb, the perfect, sinless Lamb who would die on Calvary's cross. We look at it, and they were told essentially to make a cross over the door, over the doorway. And we look back in Scripture, and throughout Scripture, we have all these examples of Christ throughout Scripture and his sacrifice and his love for the jacked up, not for the super holy, not for the super spiritual. I mean, I'm not suggesting he doesn't love them. I should have said the self-imposed super spiritual and the self-imposed holy people, right? The pharisaical people. The people who talk down to homeless people, the people who have no heart for them. I realize not everybody has the ability. I mean, I don't have the ability. There's sometimes I can speak to homeless folks and love on them. There's other times I can tell because of my allergies, my throat starts to shut down when I even get close to them, and it breaks my heart, so I'll pray for them, you know. But we can only do what we can do. But be faithful to that. Be faithful to the calling. And I love how he closes up his greeting is with his Pauline greeting, grace and peace be multiplied. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. We know that the Jews would always greet in that time, the Jews would greet shalom, which is peace. The Greeks would say grace, except they said it in Greek, and I don't speak Greek, so I don't know. Anybody here speak Greek and can tell me what that greeting is? But they would say grace. The Jews would say peace. So they got the best of both worlds here. They put them both together. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I love this. Abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Our hope is alive and well. We don't have a hope that's like based, gee, I hope. Gee willikers, I hope I get that new car. Gee, I hope. We have a living hope. Christ is our hope, and he's alive and well at the right hand of the Father. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is alive and well and dwelling in this room. There are angels in this room that we can't see. It's awesome because we're on this plane. They're on another plane. We can't see them right now, but when we get our new bodies, we will, won't we? We certainly will. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. An incorruptible inheritance that does not fade away. Our inheritance will never fade away. We will live in eternity with our Father in that perfect plan that he's created for us. You know, we can't imagine what it is. We can imagine heaven is awesome. We have little bits of it. Anybody here ever been to Glacier National Park? Isn't that phenomenal? I went through Glacier National Park about 20 years ago on my Harley and almost drove off the side because I was so busy looking at the water. I seriously, like, whoa, because it's like, whoa, that's amazing, you know, and it's like, what? But God decided I would be here today because if I'd gone off the side. But it's like, you know, you see, many of us have seen, I'm not going to go down a rabbit trail on this one, but many of us have seen various movies like The Hobbit where you have that were shot, you know, in, I've been there. Okay, south of Australia. You get the award, I don't. But New Zealand's like that. It's amazing. It's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. But that's God's artistry, showing himself. The word tells us that if, you know, Jesus told the Pharisees who came after him, told him, tell your disciples to shut up, man, and stop talking. And he said, if my believers stop speaking, if my followers stop bragging on me, even the rocks will cry out. He was saying all creation will declare my glory. And all the creation does declare his glory when we open our eyes and look at it. It takes a real blind man to look at creation and go, yeah, that came out of a big bang. That's tragic. I mean, talking about being so blinded in your desperate need to be God yourself, or your own little God, you know, to reject creation. And it's just amazing, absolutely amazing to me how blind man can be. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, it need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I mean, we're going to deal with trials and tribulation. Anybody here ever gone through a trial? Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? Wow. That the genuineness, verse 7, of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, we are saved by faith. Amen? What an easy thing. Amen? God paid the price, punched the ticket, opened the door, and said, just believe. Just believe and walk in it. And knowing how difficult it would be for us to walk, Jesus knows. He's not like, he's God Almighty. The God that we worship is compassionate. He is the one true living God. We know. I always feel weird saying that. I hear people talking about the God we, you know, talking about. It always implies there are other gods. Well, there are other gods that men create. They are fake, wannabe gods. There are people who proclaim themselves to be God. But there is only one God Almighty. There is only one Yahweh. There's only one Jehovah. There's only one who created all things and loves you and me more than we can possibly imagine. Being much more precious than gold. Boy, that's for sure. I've had a lot of stuff slip through my hands. I've seen a lot of money slip through my hands. I've had money stolen from me. I won't go into that one, but Patty and I had a lot of money ripped off from us by a banker. How did that happen? We had a business and it was just, they just stole it from us. But you know, like John Henry, you know, John Henry looks back and the stuff he had. John and I have a very, very similar kind of path in a lot of ways. We've laughed about it a lot of times that it was really a good thing we didn't meet each other when we were drinking and living the lives that we lived, because we would have really gotten in trouble. But God, who is rich in mercy, has brought us together. Here, my brother, who I've been blessed to serve with for 10 years now. Can you believe this? I've been leading worship for this fellowship for 10 years. So what are you doing on Thursday? And it's awesome. It's just been so awesome. And I was so blessed when John offered me the opportunity. And the way it happened was just so amazing how it happened. And but that is God. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with him inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I'm sorry, I just read that again, but amen. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Imagine how Isaiah, when he was writing, and the prophets who wrote about Jesus and writing the things that they declared that would happen to their Messiah, and it just... And then how blinded the religious were, how the prophets were persecuted because they didn't come with an answer that the religious wanted to hear. Things never change, do they? It just doesn't change. It just doesn't change. But we have God's word, we have history, we have the Bible, which is this complete work is absolutely the most accurate historical document ever. And I love people, I'm trying to remember now that, there's so many stories of people who have gone to refute the Bible. Intellectuals who went in and did their studies, man, and they were going to just tear it up, man. They were going to mock Christianity. They were going to go at it and show everybody a thing or two. And they get saved. Because when you approach the Bible with an open mind, when you actually, not just a prejudice that where you refuse to believe, but you actually are curious. You really want to know. If you actually really want to know the truth, it's there, isn't it? It's there. Man, I never wanted to be a Christian. I ran away. I ran away from God. And many of you know this about me. I ran into the world. I got involved in witchcraft. I got involved in all kinds of, all the crazy stuff that the people do, you know, New Age, which is old age, really old age. Like BC old age, disproven by Christ, and yet those will regurgitate it as if it's some holy document, as if it's some holy, some new truth. And it was the grace of God that brought me through all this. But I did want to know. I truly wanted to know the truth. It's just I didn't want to look over there. I didn't want to look there because I didn't want all those restrictions, because I saw the Bible and the church as very restrictive, because my experience within it, which was a religious experience, it was a cultural experience, was not one of grace and mercy, and was not one that exhorted people to read the word. My wife, Patty, I met her, and she asked me, you know, we met at a party, and we were hanging out talking. We were the only ones there that weren't getting loaded. So we ended up talking, because this is during my transition. I was looking for God. I really was, but I was sure that I needed to work a deal out with him, because I wanted to still be able to have that musician thing going on, which, you know, by his grace, I'm doing it now, and I'm blessed to do it, and I have more joy playing music now for the Lord and going in and doing all these things that I get to do, leading worship in the inner cities. Last weekend, Miwa and I were at a little offshoot of Calvary Chapel, Refuge Long Beach, actually, whose primary ministry is to people in recovery and people who are homeless. They really minister to that culture. And it was so sweet to be with them. I've led worship there a few times, but not as much as I'd like. We'll see if I can. Anyway, but I really, it's so sweet to look out at these people, you know, and they feed them, they have breakfast before the service, and just to see people's lives being transformed and watching God do his work, you know, it's so exciting to be a part of that. And I get to be a part of it because the Lord allows me to do what I do. And so my musical experience has been totally transformed, where it was all about me before, and now it's about him, but I get to go along with it, and I have more joy doing it now than I ever did in the world. Because, you know, when you're doing the thing that you worship, rather than worshiping him and doing this for him, but you're doing, because I worshiped music. I worshiped music when I was in the world. I worshiped the idea of being remembered. I remember as a kid, I mean, talking about being deluded. As a kid, I thought, you know what? If I never make it in the industry and I end up dying dead in the gutter, that'll be a great story. Seriously. But that's what some musicians, because I was playing blues and stuff, and I was just like, man, yeah, I just, yeah, how. It's like, sorry, pal, you're a white kid that grew up in Long Beach. You're not a black man from Mississippi that lived in a hut. You know, and as so many of the grandfathers of blues and jazz and such were very, very poor people whose love was this music, and music gave them something to do, and they passed it on. That passion was passed on. And, but I had this thing, because I, at that, you know, I never really had a really good relationship with a father figure. You know, I never knew my natural father, and I was adopted when I was 13, and Mr. Duke meant really well. He was a great, you know, he was a lifer in the Navy. You can imagine being a lieutenant commander in the Navy, which he was when he adopted me, and getting stuck with me. Imagine me at 13, and you're thinking you're going to, and I've already been out on the streets. I'm already running my game. I've already got my rap down. I'm working people. I'm manipulating everybody. And this guy comes along, and he thinks he's going to turn me into a military brat. Poor guy. It was horrible for him. It really, you know, and I feel for him now as a father and as a man, as an adult, looking back on that, what he went through. And, you know, my mom wanted me to have a name, And she married him. He was a great guy. Great guy. She married him. And I remember hearing them argue and her telling him that she married him so I'd have a name. Talking about, you know, my mom was so good at just slicing and she could skin you alive with her tongue. And I learned to do that. And I have to watch it. I have to watch myself even now because there's times you get angry and you have to, whoa, stop it. But that's part of what we're dealing through as we're being transformed, right? As we're being sanctified and conformed more and more into the image of Christ. We're born again by the Spirit, but our journey's not over, is it? A lot of us are getting closer. I'm a lot closer to the end of my journey than I was 20, 30 years ago. That's for sure. I mean, wow, I qualify for Social Security. How did that happen? There's a few of us here that do. Turned 65 in January. It's like, wow. And my mentally, I'm still, we don't change that much, do we, actually? I'm realizing, you know, you still think you can do things. By the grace of God, I've started riding a bicycle again to get back in shape because I'm so busy running around in circles doing what I do that I forgot about my body and I assume I'm still okay. And then pretty soon, you're just like going, man, why am I so out of energy? What is going on with me? It's like, get on the bicycle. Get on the bicycle. Used to ride one all over Long Beach. It's time to ride the bicycle. So, and that's really helping. And hopefully that's a word for somebody out here that should be riding their bicycle or exercising. We really need it. We need it. Because if you don't work it, it leaves. At my age, if you don't start exercising, if you don't work your muscles, they end up in your ankles. On your, around your ankles, whatever. You know, our chest ends up being our knees or whatever, our stomach or whatever it is. Oh. But you know, God, and I see that also as part of God's great mercy. Because we go through this, it's like, you know, the game is coming to an end here, pal. If we don't get it sooner on, and if we're blessed to live long enough to look at ourselves and going, wow, for some people, it's like, I really need to get right with God because the game's just about up. I might have 10 years if I'm fortunate. You know, I'm not saying that's how I feel. That could be true, but whatever. But you know, it's part of God's mercy, aging, and we feel as we're losing our ability and our self-confidence, as we're no longer able to do those things that we once did. God's saying, hey, you know, this is perishing. Your flesh is perishing. And I have a new body for you. I have a home that I've prepared for you in the heavenlies. And you'll be with me for eternity. I love you. I paid the price. You know, we go through it and go through the Old Testament and look at all what God has done for us and just how amazing it is through the works, even through the Old Testament, how he prepared things and prepared the way. Oh, Lord, I've talked so much, I don't know where I am now. I finished up verse 10, right? Okay. Verse 11, excuse me. Yeah. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The sufferings of Christ and the glories that we will know because of what he did. Amen? We know that he was fixed on the cross. He was fixed to go to the cross, I should say. No one put him up there. He went there willingly. As he said, I could call legions of angels right now. But that wasn't his call. That wasn't his desire. I'm sure in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was saying, Father, not my will, but your will be done, he was thinking, man, can I just... Can we work this out? Is there a way to work this out? But there wasn't. He was the only way. And he knew it. He said, I am the truth, the life and the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I get the way and truth and life thing all mixed up sometimes. You know, and people trip out on that. They'll go, you know, well, God, he's so, the various words I love, you know, because it's like, thank God there is a way. That's so closed-minded. You need to be more open-minded. You need to be more open-minded so I can put a plunger on the side of your head and flush any intelligence you've got. It's, yes, I am brainwashed. Praise God. My brain has been washed. My brain has been washed by the living word of God. Because, man, when my brain was dirty and jacked up, it was horrific what went on in my mind. And for those of you who get those thoughts, you know, we'll get thoughts. Don't blame yourself. That those fiery darts come at us as part of our old nature, and the enemy throws those fiery darts. That's part of his battle plan. You don't have to receive it. You just reject it in Jesus' name. Amen? Reject it. Turn from it. Don't believe it. You're not who you once were. You are a new creation in Christ. If you have given your life to Christ, if you believe, you are transformed. If you're walking in the Spirit, that's, you know, I love the picture. You know, it's a walk with Christ. It's not a run, because sometimes we're falling on our face and getting back up, aren't we? It's a struggle. Sometimes it's two steps forward and three back. And the enemy just wants to get in there and just grind you when that happens. Like, boy, you've done it now. You've done it now. You're toast. Well, that's from the pit of hell. That's from the pit of hell. And you see these poor people, you know, believers who have committed, I'm convinced these people who get so stressed out and so beaten up that they will take their own lives. And they're believers. What does it take to get like that? I was on the preface. On the preface? Preface. Terry? Precipice. Thank you, English teacher. But I was right there when Patty and I lost everything. It wasn't long after that I thought about doing myself. I remember sitting there. But by the grace of God, you know, and God spoke to me, you know, I just looking at it and the people that I love, that's like the worst thing you can do to people. To those who love you, that's the absolute worst thing you can do to them. It's the most selfish thing you can do. And anybody that's going through that, if anybody who's questioning, anybody who's so down in the out, down and out, that's on the internet, in this room, whatever, don't do it. God is going to work through you. Just stay faithful. The valley experience, you'll get through this valley experience. We get through that experience. And that gives us a heart for people who are going through that rather than being judgmental. I mean, God threw me in prison ministry because I could have easily ended up in there. He put me there because after I was transformed by Christ, I had a heart for those people. I look out on a prison yard and it breaks my heart. I was just over at CIW, California Institute, to drop off some flyers or posters, and I saw some of these women working in the parking lot in orange, and I'm looking, and it just broke my heart. It just broke my heart to see how some of them just don't even know who they are anymore. I mean, these women with shaved heads, and they're trying to act like, you know, I mean, they're just, they're acting like the guys on the other main lines, because CIW is a mainline prison. It's a lower security prison now. I believe, well, I don't know if they, maybe what they've done is they've transferred the higher security women into other buildings, but they used to cohabitate. They'd have level 4 and level 2 in the same building, in the same room, which is absolutely nuts. They would never do that in a men's facility. A men's facility, it's like level 4 is a full yard. level three is a full yard. They don't mix them up. There's one transitional yard at Corcoran that's kind of, it's like a three and a half, if you will. And guys who are trying to get their points down, because they have to get out of level four to start getting their points down. You know, you can get your points down only so far, but if you're in level four, if you're in maximum security, it only goes so far. They needed work to get out of level four, get into regular population, if you will, get into level three, and then you can start working your points off because there's more programs, there's more opportunities. Because in level four, Corcoran is a madhouse. That Charlie Yard at Corcoran is very intense. Very intense. The gang influence and something else we need to pray about, you know, is how many are being, you know, I read somewhere that Patty told me, my wife commented, I didn't actually read the article, but I've seen that 80% of the conversions that go on in prison are to Islam. Now, I don't know where, but I've seen how they roll in there. I've been in there with the Muslim congregations, excuse me, and I've seen the attitudes and see what goes on, because they basically use that as a ploy to get these guys involved in gangs, and they use that carrot, and then they use it to manipulate them. I mean, we see what's going on in the world, and they manipulate them, and then they use it for criminal activity. But by the grace of God, I see a lot of guys coming to Christ in prison. And I see a lot of guys who were backslidden, and the Lord locked them up. And now he's speaking to them. And I've told many, you know, I'll say that all the time to guys, you know, how blessed they are that God cared so much for them that he locked them up and put them inside so they wouldn't die in their sin out on the street. And they are so quick to say amen. They don't have a chip on their shoulder. They're just like, amen. You know, they have a life. They have more joy in prison. Some of these guys, some of them will never get out. Some of the brothers that I love on, that I minister to, that I've known for years, they will never get out. Because they grew up in a neighborhood where they fell for the lie of gang involvement. And they were, I know guys that were standing in an area, they were not the trigger man, but they were affiliated with somebody who was his neighbor, standing next to him. Somebody pulled the trigger, and they're down for life. In LA County, they would roll a whole group, they just go in and take them all and lock them up. That's the wisdom of man. That's the wisdom of man. Pray for them, because as they're in there, and I know guys that went in like that. There's a pastor, Brian, I won't get into, but Brian, who I know, and he's now the senior pastor of a church in Paramount, I believe it is. And he's in, if anybody's seen the Big House Revival short film, has anybody seen that? If you go to bighouserevival.com, please check it out. It'll kind of give you, it's a yard event that we did. It's a short 10-minute film, and there's some interviews that are very touching. And these guys in there are very, very dear to me. And I've seen God just do great things with them. But a lot of them have been transferred out now. So we're now getting ready to go out and do yard events all over we're planning to do yard events all over the state of California. So that's something that's in the works, and I need your prayers for, and needless to say, to do that, we're going to need support. You know, we're not a ministry that pays people to go do that. We don't pay performers and speakers. We just handle the costs of what it is. But some ministries actually raise a lot of money, and they make a lot of money doing this, which is really bizarre to me. It's very bizarre, but different strokes for different folks, eh? I think that's Sly and the Family Stone. I'm having a flashback there. Different strokes for different folks. So why do you? Yeah, okay. All right. Not a Christian band. all right. It's far from it. Wow. Verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. I mean, the angels are so blown away by the relationship that we have with God. Can you imagine them going, really? You're gonna become one of them? And let them spit on you, let them kill you, so that they can come up here and hang with us? I'm not sure how that will work with us and the angels, but I don't really care. I'm blessed that we'll be together in heaven, amen? How many of you just have like an open, whatever it is, I'm good with heaven, whatever it is? A lot of us? Yeah, I don't expect you. Yeah, amen. Because, you know, we have all these pictures of what it is. I was thinking about that today. This thought came into my mind. Oh, I hope. It's like, shut up. If you don't think God's got the best thing going for you, you know, like, I hope I can play guitar in heaven. You know, it's like, if it's his will, praise God. I would love to do it, but he's probably got a lot better instruments up there. He's got some, whatever. I may be working the parking lot. I have no idea. It's Verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Strengthen your mind. A great way to gird up the loins of our mind is right here. That's the best way, amen? Because we know girding up, what that is the men would take in order to run. They would wear, their clothing was basically a robe, and they would just grab underneath and pull it up so that they could run, or if they're going to work in the fields, whatever. But when a battle was happening, they would pull it up. They'd pull it up, tighten it up, and go for it. Because you can imagine what it'd be like trying to run around in a robe. That would be kind of difficult if you're running or if you're working hard or in battle, whatever, because this life is a battle. 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The time of your stay here in fear. I believe fear, looking here, is in awe and wonder and in absolute awe of God. Amen? I have to confess, I think it's very healthy to fear God, don't you think? I fear that if I would go back to who I once was, it would not be good for me. But why would I do it? You know, because if you're in Christ, you have such joy, but yet those things happen, and the world just wants us so desperately to return to our former self. And the enemy, I mean, the greatest, if you will, pin or whatever, the greatest trophy for Satan is to tear down one of God's children. That's his greatest target, his greatest desire. But God, who is rich in mercy, cares for us and is there for us. And by his Spirit, we can cry out to him at any moment. At any moment. He's longing. It blows me away when I think about the fact that he's just longing to hear from me. He loves to hear from us. He loves to hear us worship. He loves to hear his word proclaimed. He loves to see us gathered together as a body. Here we are gathered together as a family, bound as one, lifting up our voices to the King of Kings, crying, Abba, Father, holy is your name. Holy is your name. Verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Amen. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Peter, as when he wrote this, he had been through quite an adventure, hadn't he? And here he is reaching out to the church. And I mean, imagine the heart that he had, and we see his heart, because Peter was almost a total failure. He crashed and burned, and by the grace of God, was pulled back up. Amen? God gave Peter a heart for these people, a heart of understanding, a passion for his name, a passion for his word, and realizing he had no reliance on himself. The minute we start relying on ourselves, we're in big trouble, because the flesh will work you. It'll work you through your dreams. I mean, people, I feel for people who think that if something comes in through their thoughts during a dream that has something to do with anything other than either a memory or some abstract thought or whatever. But so often the enemy attacks us in that way. And it could also just be that I ate too late. My stomach's upset, and I have a tendency to do that. I have a tendency to eat too late because I go and go and go and go, and I'll be practicing and practicing and practicing, and I'll suddenly go, oh my gosh, it's 8 o'clock and I haven't eaten dinner yet. I better do something about that, you know. And then I go eat. Then I put a thing up on Instagram about what I was eating that night. And somebody on Instagram said, "That's not real food." Well, garlic is wonderful, what it will do to just about anything. Garlic and little Cajun pepper and different things. But you know, the goodness of God and the passion of God, you know, in Pentecost and as God poured out his spirit, and that was something, Acts, you know, 2, that I was really struggling between looking at Nehemiah's faithfulness, but all these things, let's consider this. Nehemiah, okay, was called to put together a troop, right? Bring together the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It was trashed. And as we read Nehemiah and we read, you know, it can be very boring. Nehemiah can be very boring because all the names and all that stuff in verse 3 and verse, you know, when they're talking about all the things that they were doing. But when you think about that, that's how precious those people were to God, that he wanted them in his word, that he did this task, she did that task. They had these tasks to do. They were all part of it. We all have tasks to do. We all have tasks to do. Don't underestimate the value of what God has put before you to do, no matter how small it is. It may be a meal for somebody. It may be just telling somebody Jesus loves you. It may be seeing a woman in a burqa and telling her Jesus loves you. Those tasks are important to God. And what is amazing to me too, because as those who were outside the wall were mocking the Jews, they're mocking the Jews, and Nehemiah and the troop that was doing, they started working with a sword in one hand, or maybe it was stuck, you know, it was in the ground right here, maybe it was on their sheath, whatever. But they were ready to rock. They didn't stop. They knew a battle could come. When we're at work, when we're working for the Lord, we need to be prepared for the arrows of the enemy as well. We need to be ready for those attacks, because they will come, you know, mental, whatever it may be, a word that'll try to get you to respond in a negative way. That's, I mean, if I've learned nothing else in the prison ministry, I've learned to be humble in the yard, to be meek in the yard, but not be cowardly. I stand tall when I walk in there. I don't look down. I look those guys in the eye. I say, "Good morning, gentlemen," when they're mad dogging me. And it's amazing how when you say good morning to some guy who's all inked out and looks like he wants to eat you alive, they don't know what to do with it. "Oh, yeah, yeah. Good morning." You know, what are you going to say? "Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen." "Gentlemen?" I always address them as "good morning, gentlemen." Nobody calls them gentlemen, except for maybe, perhaps, a guard who's got it together. Because a lot of the guards really care about them also. I know a lot of Christian men who serve within the CDCR, and it's awesome. We need to be lifting them up in prayer as well, amen? Wisdom for those who are, for the wardens and their crews and everything, because the warfare is tremendous. The warfare is tremendous. You know, and the persecution, here we look at persecution in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit's poured out. And here Peter preaches, it's about a minute and 45 seconds if you get what Peter teaches. Talking about an effective sermon. A minute and 45 minutes of 3,000 people come forward to receive Christ. Lord, give me that ability. But that wasn't Peter, was it? That was God moving through Peter. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Yeah, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Oh, well. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone that they set aside, you know, the religious, you know, when they're building the temple, which would foretell of what they would do with the cornerstone, God's son. They would set him aside, throw him in the bushes, and later he would reveal himself. And he certainly did, didn't he? My wish for you is that you just, you know, have great joy in what God is doing, what God is doing in and through you. And I sit here and I have the privilege of looking at each one of you. And I, as I tell the guys inside, you know, they're so grateful that I, when I come in, and I am so blessed because I get to look at all of them. I get to see a room full of guys who want to hear from the Lord. They just get this crazy, whatever I am, this Jesus freak that goes in and gets to love on him. So we're starting up again with the art events in 2 weeks. And just pray, because we're working on some big men's facilities right now. Just be in prayer, if you would, please, of that. And for God to move mightily, for God to bless it, and for him to be glorified in all these things. Father, we thank you, God, that you love your children. You loved us so much that you pulled us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord, your love is so amazing. It's so amazing. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that this day, that as your word went forward, that it just spoke uniquely to each individual as only you can. And Lord, I pray for a great blessing upon them. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for your immeasurable love and mercy and grace which you've poured out on such as us. We give thanks in Jesus' precious name.